This podium right here, I'd like to put on some tracks. I'd like to move it down to you. Or push a button here and move you up. I thought I was going to get out of it. I did. I want to tell you that down there the last 2 weeks, I've never put under the rigor that we had. It was an enjoyable rigor, but it was mega work. And I looked through I got a little diary. I keep a little journal. And when Dan called, I thought, well, you know, that's what I'll do, is based on what our sister Harris had told me one time. She says, when missionaries go out of town, I want to hear what they did. I want to hear where they went, who they talked with, what was done. I'd like to know about that. So I thought, well, you know, I'll do that. And I think, actually, I think it's a responsibility. Wherever we go and whatever we do, it's really, he's talking about wings right here. It's on the wings of your prayers, your concerns. It's an event that just doesn't happen, but it happens because there are people here in the army, you know, who are behind the forces on the front lines. Thank you for that. I got up my journal and I drug up some of the high spots that was in our little time down there in Yucatan. And what I've got is I've got little memories of little towns that I went into, and things that we did, and the things that we saw or what we did, I've coupled, and would like you to couple, with scriptures. And so as I tell you a little story, and this is not, you know, I don't look at this as entertainment, but there was some little funny little things that happened right here, and I may weave some of those in here. But my intention is that God is moving, God has got something to say, and the things that we're involved with, there's something behind that in a scripture. And I hope that as I'm telling you the story right here, your mind is moving. And as your mind is moving, be thinking and grasping and meditating on, well, that reminds me of this scripture or that. Something that you've read before. You know that's in the Word of God. And so if you want to, I'd encourage you to do that. As I tell you a little story or a little place that we went and what we did, give you an opportunity to ask you, well, what scripture does that remind you of? What is brought to mind when I told you that little story? All right, so here we go. We went down there, and there was not a day. I'm not tooting any horns on this. I'm just saying this is just how it is. We're down there, and we got in, and we got to bed about midnight. Come morning, we're hitting the road, and we're going to a village. Every day. Two or three times sometimes a day. Non-stop. All right? Well, as I thought about that, not necessarily thinking about me, as I'm doing this, and as this thing developed right here, there is something in my mind. I'm thinking, big time. I'm thinking it for our brother Placido down there, and for the seven other ministry down there. I'm thinking something. What might I be thinking, scripturally? What might I be thinking of an endless road of work to be done? No stopping. There is no resting. There is no stopping. There is one unbroken chain of get ready for this. Get ready for that. We were going here. This is what we're going to do. We're going to speak to these. We're going to go there. They are new people. What in your mind would be triggered by that very thought that I just expressed? Anybody?
I can only think of instant in prayer.
Instant in prayer, boy, and we did a lot of it. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, what? That he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then he says, the laborers are many. The laborers are few. The work is great. I'm thinking that. We need help. Boy, we need help. Placido needs help. There ain't enough of us. We can 24/7. Unrolling, unstopping. Ain't enough of us. And boy, that's what I was thinking. Well, we came, first little stop. Came to a little place, and I couldn't remember all of them. There are all of them, these names, and I was getting Placido to tell me how you say that name. Some name 24 letters long right here begins with an X, you know. And so I don't have them. I really don't even know half the places where we went. But there's a little place I did know. I mean, I wrote it down phonetically. What I think it's Chocobal. 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 We went to Chocobal, a little sleepy little village, and we met a new elder I never met before. His name is Tomas. I guess that's Thomas. And so we went in there, and they've got a thatched hut. And we come in, and there's two there with a lineup of young kids sitting in a row, and a young woman and another woman or two, probably 10, 12 people there. And so, you know, I'm talking. And as I'm talking, I'm looking at their faces there. And this, now this is where your baptism of fire begins. You leave America, you leave us, you leave how we talk, how we react, and you go down there, and that turns off, and you turn on a switch that says you will now speak Spanish. This total Spanish. So I began, and I'm looking at these faces right here. And of course, my little Missouri mind is thinking, I'm not sure just how much they're getting here. So I said, you know, ¿entienden ustedes? Mi español. And some of the adults crossed arm like this, they're nodding their head. And one little girl over here sitting there, she's leaning on her seat like this, looking at me intently. No entiendo nada. I don't understand a thing. And of course, you're humbled immediately. But I thought of something, of a scripture about that thought. What might that scripture be? Well, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, and this is Corinthians 14:6, 1 Corinthians. If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you, except I shall speak unto you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give distinctness in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And I'm thinking that, and of course my wife drives that into me. Randy, what value is it if you're speaking and there's not any understanding? Now, I'm just not talking Spanish. I'm talking right here behind this desk. If I'm not speaking words that you can understand and relate to and that are helpful in your struggle and your fight and your duty, then I have done nothing. I haven't helped anything. I've given an uncertain sound. I haven't called anybody to battle. Nobody is ready. And so that's what I want to do. I want to make sure, and I can't, But I my desire is that this is clear and you understand the points that I'm making. Well, the next day, everything's going to be the next day. I don't have all the next days right here, but the next time. We went to Zaun. That was on Saturday. We got there Friday. That was on Saturday. And in Zaun, which is a long ways away, we came there, and the young people are going to have a meeting. And what they have done, and boy, it's great, is they have gotten all the young people of all the locals that will come. And they get on a bus or on a motorcycle, and they get there. And so there was a whole bunch of young people representing a whole bunch of little locals right there in Zaun. And so the plan is, and I don't know what their plan is when I got there, but my plan was is that I've got a little PowerPoint deal that I'm gonna show. And of course, there is no screen. And the pastor, William Seralda, right here, said, well, he says, we've got a sheet. And we've got two big pillars right here, and we will stretch that sheet across there. And so we were there a little early, and he commenced to do that, found out what I was going to do, and so he began doing that. And he looked up those big old pillars there, and he's looking at the dimension of the sheet and trying to figure that out. And of course, another couple of brothers saw immediately, you know, we can help. So they began with great detail and great precision to stretch this sheet. We don't want any wrinkles in it. We want it just straight. We want it just right off the ground and not too high, just perfect, you know. That's just how I see some of those guys, that they like it right. And so he gets his little step ladder, and boy, he's up there on that pillar, and boy, he's tying excellent little Boy Scout knots right here and getting it done. And then someone else will tell him, well, it needs to go up a little higher, you need to stretch a little tighter, and boy, he'll do that, come on down, do some more. Move that step ladder on the other side, do the same thing on the other side. We got it just right. Just right. Hot dog. Boy, that's a nice flat white screen. Service started. Young people come pouring in, filled up all the seats, a bunch of them. Immediately, they marched up front, tore the sheet down, threw it all down right here. They had their little presentation they were going to give right here. And so I glanced over to William, the pastor. And he's just kind of very interested in looking at that. They took it down right here, and they had their program. And it was an excellent program. And every little young people's group from every little local had a presentation. They've got a town there. It's called Mayapan, which is notable, at least this is what I've heard, notable to being as close to original Maya distinctives. Women wear the long dresses, and they're far from the big city, and they live fairly what we might call primitively. Though I'm not trying to put any pejoristic tone to that. I mean, they live back, further back to that society than lots of Mexico. And the one in charge was a young man from Mayapan. And I was just impressed. He was engaged and sober and accepting this responsibility. And they had a very wonderful, nice program of singing and of different little things and responses that they had and so forth. So they finished, and when they're done, well, our brother and his helpers have got to restretch that screen. Now I'm looking at that. I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at me, really, what I'm looking at.
I just stretched out that screen right there, and they came in and they took it all down.
Sorry, but I've talked like that before. And so I'm watching him and the fellas that helped him. I'm just studying this. He gets up and walks over very humbly and gets his ladder, puts it over there, puts it up. That's just all in a... That's all part of the job. They take it down, I put it back up. They may take it down again, I'll put it right back up. What would you think, ministry? What do you think? What scripture would come to mind? I know you know I got it, right? I don't have it. I encourage you. Really, if you got something in mind, you know, say it. What I do have: the servant of the Lord must not strive. He's not in the basis, in the business of struggling against the flock. Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. And the last word would be patient. My little thought behind this is the memories and the lessons. Well, you know, I'm taking this in, looking at it. It's good for me. Seeing how it is and ought to be good for me. I love it. It hurts, but I love it. So the next day, I had three services. I had it in Yobayin. And if you can think of a Mayan Indian right here, he's on the clock. He says, we've got to get out of here and be, was it Merida? Merida at 1 o'clock. Well, we got an hour and a half to go. So we left there, and we met together with the congregation of Wild K, and we had a baptism. And in that baptism, the gal that was going to get baptized, I asked her, I said, do you have anything to say? She said, yes. And she gave her reasons. And I see that as doubly more potent than us here. I see a shy little Mayan woman, and she is going to tell you why she's doing what she's doing, and it takes everything she's got. Well, we left there, and we went back to Yobayin and have another service. So in that other service there is, my idea is that I've got a bunch of photos. I want to show these photos on a screen there. And so Plasto's got a screen, pretty good screen there. And we started in the house. And people started coming right here and said, well, this ain't going to work. So we moved out of the house and moved outside. And still fairly light out. We got a sister, older sister, probably, I would say 65, 70, sitting right here. And the screen is right here. And the people are right there. So she's sitting there, and we're kind of getting things arranged here, getting people arranged and books and so forth. And a little gust of wind come up, blew the screen down about 3 inches from her foot. I said, boy, Lord's looking after you. So anyway, what I've got is I've got a little dinky little computer, and I've got a flash drive. It's got all these pictures on it. And so I reach in my pocket. It's getting about where we ought to be. You know, we've sang a bunch of songs, and we're about ready to have this, and I've got the projector set up and so forth. And I reach in my pocket to get that flash drive, and it's not there. And so I've got to depart for just a little bit. We're some distance from Plasto's house right here. So I commandeered a bicycle. And I says, may I use your bicycle? And so I got hit this, whosoever bicycle was, and I roared on through town. As I'm going through town, there's Mayan people looking out and watching this white gringo go zooming by, and there's just laughter as far as I can see. And here and approach right here. And I come in and I run into our little room there and I'm ransacking, you know, where in the world would I have put that thing, that little flash drive? And it's not anywhere. Well, I had just baptized this gal that morning, or 1 o'clock. And there ain't no way sitting those britches. They're soaked. Becky hung them out on the line. And I went out there, where they're at. So I got it, and I thought, this is not going to work. It just can't work, but Lord, whatever will work, make it work. And so I got back, and more laughter as I showed up in the bicycle, my knees hitting the bars of the bicycle right here, and I had these light-colored britches on, and he had a little thing, welded thing, that stuck out from the chain right here. My britches got caught up in the chain, so I had grease all over my britches right here, to the horrification of my wife, right? But anyway, so I stuck that little flash drive in there, and it worked. And so that's what we did that evening, and that was just neat to see. When somebody's got a photograph, and they're looking at that photograph, and they see spiritual content in it. Could be a dog in a truck. It could be anything right here. But seeing that, and for some of their answers, just zero, right on the mark where it ought to be. So we left there, and we came to a place called Saqqaba. And that was a long drive. And so we come into Saqqaba, and in Saqqaba, this town is older than Merida. I think he said 1520, like that. And it's an old town, and so we went around and finally found where we was going. And it was two old houses here, and we're going to have a little meeting between the two old houses. And the sun's up hot and high, so they've taken a tarp, and they stretched that tarp over, so we're under the tarp. Of course, that tarp is set for people that are 5 feet tall, So anyway, Placido is going to, they don't speak, they don't know Spanish, Mayan. And so what he has got to do is, I figure if they don't know Spanish, no sense in me trying to speak Spanish right here. So I spoke English, and as I spoke English, he translated from my English into Mayan. And so I'm talking away, and periodically there's conversation between Placido and this old woman there. And there's about 5 or 6 men. You're saying something about this.
We want to hear stuff
down your pocket. Is this on? So there's this 6 or 7 of these men right here, and this one woman. And so I'm talking and speaking, and there's as I'm talking right here, there's this kind of a conversation going on as Placido is translating, but then he'll talk to this woman, and this woman will talk to him, kind of back and forth. And I'm talking to all of them right here, but then this is going on. So I got done. And Placido, after we had some administration, some other things, Placido says, there's something that happened here. Now get ready, your minds. He says, that woman told me in Maya what you just said in English, and I didn't say it. You ever heard of that before? And what might that be called? And the interpretation of tongues is exactly right. And I've heard of that. I've read it in the scriptures. Well, you read there in the second chapter of Acts, Peter is talking, and whoever, I can't remember other else that are speaking, but every nation, creed, and tongue that was there in Jerusalem at the time that Peter was speaking, at the time of Acts 2, they all heard it in their own language. That's only God can do that. That's just exactly what I thought of then. Well, we had these administrations, and this one man, he was, I can't remember, he was the husband maybe of the woman, I don't know. But he comes up and shakes my hand and speaks in Mayan, for which I have no way of understanding. But he says, I have been a drinker all my life. I will stop today. Well, whether he does or not, you know, I may never know, never find out. But that says something. What might that say? The conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I remember a story years ago. I may have said this. I read it in the book, The Little Woman, The Woman in Africa. I mean, in the mountains of China. Is that The Little Woman? She was there in a little house, and she had a little tea house or a little coffee house or a little way stop. And the Himalayan camel herds would come through her little village onto the trade routes in China. And they'd come there, and they would stop there. And when they would stop, they would come into her house, and she would feed them food and give them tea and then tell them the stories about Jesus. So one day, this general and some Chinese soldiers came in. And they came in, sat down, and she did exactly what she always does. And so she told them about the Lord Jesus, told them about those stories that we know. And after that, the general got up and the soldiers left. That night, just before she got to bed, got a knock at the door. And she opened the door, and there was the general. And he strode in, and he looks around. Who told you? She says, told what? Who told you? Told what? Who told you that I was a sinner? And then she told him, she said, well, what you have just experienced is the conviction of the Lord upon you, upon your heart. What a wonderful thing that is. When we're sitting here, we're in our house, we're driving, wherever it may be, and the Holy Spirit comes knocking. And he's revealing to us who we are and how we need to change. That's what happened to that man there, in my opinion. Well, they take care of you. And then when we sit about ready to say our goodbyes, somehow I found out about it. I don't know how I found out about it, but there's a cave over there just over the hill. They call it a cenote. Cenote generally in Yucatan is a well, and it's just filled full of water, and oftentimes in the years past they draw water from it, and so I was really interested in that. So I walked over there with several men, and boy, man, they were eager to show me, and we went into this well and looked at it, and you could go down to it. Actually, it's a sinkhole that drops down and goes back, and we did that. And of course, I'm doing this right. I wish I would have had my flashlight, you know. And I only went as far as darkness could permit right here, and then we had to come back out. But I could tell there was a certain amount of trepidation with some of those men. No, we don't go too far back in there. There's bad things back in there. So that was interesting to me. So we left that area, and we got where I'm at here. We came to a little place on the way back, and there's a couple of members there, and a couple of members, it's an older woman and her daughter, and the older woman has got also a son who lives there, and also his wife and two or three others. So we had another service, and after that service, they gave us the most marvelous meal you could eat for down there. And we ate that meal. And as I'm eating that meal there, I'm thinking of something. What am I thinking? That's right. I'm sorry. This was a man. This is a different family right here. A man who had a father who owned a field. And after the service, they bundled up a bunch of vegetables and fruit, and they came and gave that to Placido. And who else was with us there? Anyway, they laid that down. And I'm admiring that, and I'm looking at it. And as I'm looking at it, of course, I say, well, boy, you know, that's nice. You know, do you grow that here? He says, well, no, not here. He says, but I do have a field over yonder. Of course, I'm thinking over yonder is 100 feet over yonder. And he says, do you want to see it? Well, yeah, I would. So immediately, the brother that we came with had a motorcycle, and this grandpa got on a motorcycle, and his wife got in the car with us with two grandchildren. They got in the car, and we went driving down the road there to find this field. Well, it was a long ways. We drove a long ways there, and then here's an obscure little kind of a driveway overgrown with weeds and whatever, and Placido couldn't get in there. Went down too deep and too overgrown and so forth, and so he parked on alongside the road there. We got out, and we went down, I bet, a quarter of a mile down this path, walking. And we walked back into his field, and sure enough, he's got corn growing everywhere. And in the corn, he's got every kind of melon that you would imagine growing in the corn, with the corn, and a bunch of other things. He had he got his machete out and cut the prickly cactus, kind of a big old ear leaf kind of a thing. He cut the ear off of that thing, and this translucent goo or ooze come just pouring out of that. He says, jamón, excelente, that's good soap. And I saw it come right out of there, and I've heard of that. In fact, I've read it on some bottles right here, made out of jojoba or whatever. So anyway, so he's showing us all this, and meantime, the other brother, he goes out this way, and in true Indian fashion right here, he looks down, and he summons us over, and there's a covey of about 12 quail eggs. I'm just like he knew where it was. You know, but boy, those guys just, there it is. And I had to look a couple of them. Well, yeah, sure enough. They picked him up. So in the middle of the field there, he's telling us, he says, I bought this field from my uncle. And this is a field of rock. Field of rock. His uncle owned it for years right here and couldn't grow a thing out of that field. He said, but my field grows everything. And my uncle, he says, my uncle asked me, he says, how do you do it? He says, my God does it. So what scripture would you brought to mind on that? Excellent. Pray over your flocks, your fields, your family. And that man believes that. He doesn't have any second thoughts about, I don't know if God will do it or not. He believes that. And we saw the evidence of it. And we took home the evidence of it. Next event, we're going to Nellie's house, which is, she lives in Merida, and she's the sister of Placido. She's married to a chef, really nice man. He's a member, she's a member. Their daughter is a member. They got a 10-year-old son. He's not a member. They live there in a little house, and in his little house, he's got a little auxiliary room here, and he's turned that into his kitchen. And he's got a little business, a little restaurant right there, and it opens up at late in the evening, 6 o'clock till 10 or so every night. And people come there, and they make their orders, and he fixes their food, and his business is doing well. So what do you think? Your business is doing well. Feel, man, things are rolling. You're hitting on all eight cylinders there. You are doing well. Your health is well. Your house is well. Your children are well. Your husband-wife marriage is well. Our restaurant is doing well. What do you think? What is your response? Well, theirs is, we are thankful. We are thankful. We want to have a service of thanksgiving. We want to express to you and tell God we are thankful for what we got. So that's what they did. So we went there, and they got a room there, and I didn't get my measure tape out, but I'm looking at it. It's about 12 foot by 25 feet long. That's their living room. Then they got a kind of a kitchenette behind that. Well, a few people come in. And a few people more come in. You ever had 40 people in your living room? Well, we had 40 people. And they're sitting on top of each other, but we're all in there. And we had an evening of Thanksgiving. Well, they've got a daughter. Her name is Evelyn, Evelina. Evelina was named, what's her middle name? Is Ruth? Or Francis. Well, Leon Yates went down there, and Leon Yates had a sister whose name is Evelina. Well, Leon Yates' wife is named Francis. Well, we like them so well, we're going to name our children that name. That's what her name is. Well, that little gal, she's not little. She's 6 foot. She's tall. With her heels on, she's a 6 footer. I mean, I'm looking up at her right here. You know, I'm looking at this gal. As sweetest little bird that you'd ever see in your life. And her delight is she teaches 3-year-old kids. And she chitters and she chatters and just, she's just filled with goodness and sweetness about her. So we had that little service, and then our chef, was it before or afterwards, but our chef fixed us. I mean, downtown Marriott can't do what he did. And he puts the food down, and we eat it, and it's, what do they call it, mole, or what was that? Mole. Jane Ann, it's chocolate, and you know, it's a chocolate syrup on entree meat or something, but it's this chocolate stuff that he conjures up. Ronnie Gill, he had found out about it. I don't know how, or Plasto told him about it, but Ronnie, oh, he was there. All right, so he got some. So he took that back down to Honduras. So we are expecting we go to Honduras, we're going to get our mole. And so he feeds us, and then he pours us some juice, and we drink the juice, and we eat the nice meal, and then he comes and he gives us a little goblet of ice cream, and then we finish that off, and then he comes by with a little fragile glass of water. Do you think that I felt kind of unwanted and sort of out of place and you're just sort of a bother? Man, I felt like a king. I felt like, well, these people, I mean, they know how to make you feel good. What scripture would I think of? Given to hospitality. You know, that is a wonderful thing, and I'm working at it. But it's a wonderful thing when you come into someone's house and they have embraced you as real friends, blessed you. You left there blessed. Boy, that's what they do down there. Went to a little Consa Cab, little town. And Consa Cab is the town, I've heard this testimony, got planted right here. No, Concacaf and Motul, they're connected together in this story. That's it, Concacaf chain. In Concacaf chain, I hope you're right, doesn't matter. We don't know how these towns. In this town is where old Cayetano, old man full of elder in our church, he's been gone for 50 years or 40, whatever. I've got a memory of him because he gave us a tin of biscuits. He was a baker, and he would fill his biscuits in a tin, this square by foot by foot by 18 inches or so. Had a lid, kind of like a cracker tin, but a big one, full of those crackers, those biscuits, whatever he made. So I remember that. I got that vividly in my mind about Cayetano. I heard stories about him all my life. Well, this is the town for which Cayetano was in. Phil, he's now old. He's in this Concacaf or bowling chain, wherever he's at. He's in this town, and he's got emphysema, dawn of his life. But the heart of God is in him, beating hard. And he wants to go to Motul. And we drove that some distance. He can only walk. And he intends to go to Motul and have a service there in Motul. And in his emphysemic condition, he begins his walk. Motul. Well, he had told a brother the night before that, he says, I'm walking to Motul. That little brother thought, well, in the morning, I'm going to get on my bicycle and I'm going to go by his house and I'll get Cayetano and put him on my bicycle and take him into town. And he gets on his bicycle and he rides all the way in town and no sight of Cayetano. He gets into town and there in front of the big clock, right there in town, we took a picture of it. Right there in town there was a bench and he sat down, he was found sitting on the bench in Motul in front of the clock. And the brother in the bicycle come up to him, he says, Hermano, he said, where were you? I got up early in the morning to want to take you on my bicycle to bring you into town right here. What happened to you? He says, all I know is I started walking and I'm here. And I started at the time that I looked at the clock when I was here, and that's the time it was. What in your mind, scripture, would that be? Do we understand what I just said? Maybe. He instantly left Concacaf chain and was in Motul. Instantly. The same time he left, the same time he arrived. Miles distance. He's sitting there in his emphysema on the bench. Well, what scripture would there be? God is, well, good, excellent. I know exactly what you're talking about. She's talking about the baptism of the eunuch. And Philip said he was carried away and seen in another country. Book of Mormon says, God is a God of miracles. And if these things have ceased, then unbelief has caused it to cease. Went into T.C. Mean, and they're going to have a reunion there. And the reunion is they've invited, I don't know if all of them, but invited most of the locals of Yucatan to come there into T.C. Mean. And so we're there, and one of the elders that are there is a man by the name of Guadalupe. Guadalupe is there, and he has been ordained an elder in the Cancun local that we have in Cancun. Well, before he was an elder, he was a man that occupied. There was no ministry for years. We've been down there several times. There's Guadalupe. I remember they invited us to dinner. We had dinner. Guadalupe had no shirt on. He had his hat, and he stood there at attention, and he fanned his face right here with sweat just streaming down his body while we ate. He's a servant, a godly man. Well, God saw that. and he called him. Well, he's now an elder. Well, he was there. Well, we had read, probably by the advocate, I don't know how we found out about it, but we had read, what, a couple, two, 3 years ago, whenever it was, we had read that Guadalupe has got terminal cancer. Well, he was there a week ago, standing there fitting and ready. And he told us that. He said, yeah, he says, I had terminal cancer. I went to the doctor, and they took pictures of me. Did they operate on him? Anyway, they took pictures. Placido said that they saw the pictures also, and saw the pictures of all the devastation inside of him. Total inside right here, just eaten up by cancer. He's all huge and big like this. He said, God heard prayers of those who prayed for me. I have no cancer. Pretty neat. Well, we left there, and of course, they're going to feed us. They feed you. I can't describe it. So we sat down, and we had a lot of food there, and boy, you just reach out and you grab the tortillas and you grab the peppers, and I grabbed the tortillas, but not the peppers, and you're eating away, and I finished my bowl. I had a bowl of beans of some sort, so I finished that bowl off, and of course they're all trying to teach me how to eat Mayan. So this is a Mayan dinner right here. And boy, they're eating with their tortillas, and amazing how they can take a tortilla with a bowl of soup and empty it with a tortilla. Unbelievable. They do it. So I finished my bowl with a spoon, and I finished my bowl right here, and Roger Kahn's daughter, it's in her house. Roger Kahn was an elder in our church that passed away here 5 years ago, maybe. And so she says, hermano, ¿quiere más? Do you want more? I said, no, thank you. No, gracias. Face just went. So I'm eating my tortilla, you know, and well, you know, I have done something wrong here. I said, hermana, quiero más. Ah. She poured me some more soup. Well, I learned something from that. One thing is, you don't eat what you eat what's in front of you. And as much as they're going to give you, you keep eating until it's done. Well, that scripture, and I've got it right here somewhere. And unto whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. You'll find that in Luke 10:8. That was Jesus that said that. Well, we went from there and we came to Miriam's house, and we're going to have a service there. And they do that. It's pretty interesting. Is like for evening services, rather than, this is in Yobain, rather than have the services there in the church, they'll have it at one of the members' house. Well, this was at Placido's sister. Her name is Miriam. So we're going to have a service there at her house. And I've got another, I thought I'm going to show some slides on this deal. So I've got some slides that I've got cranked up and ready to show. Well, they've got the songs that they're going to sing that they picked out, and they're going to have the proper invitation and so forth. And so they had the proper invitation, not the proper invitation, the proper beginning or how, whatever.
Introduction.
So they had the proper introduction right here, and then we sang the song. And we sang a song in Spanish. Manon probably knows this. It's about baby Jesus and the Magi, three wise men. I never sang it before, but we sang it. You know what my first slide in two was? Baby Jesus and the Magi's. Well, what I talked about, not to say over much about what I talked about, but what I talked about was Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it was there. This attitude, this spirit of worship of the Lord was there. So that was, I think it was that night, we was going to bed, and it was fairly, fairly close to lights out. We got a little knock at the door, and Raquel, which is Placido's oldest sister. And if you remember anything about anything in the Advocate or any prayer request, you may have heard, pray for Raquel. Well, Raquel has been sick as long as I've ever known about her. Raquel has always been deathly sick, near death many times, had a couple of operations and so forth. And 3 years ago, her illness and her sickness disappeared and is gone. Well, 3 years ago, her father, Placido, you've seen him here, her father, Placido, came down with dementia. She feels that God has raised her and revived her health to take care of her father. Now, I have never seen anything like that in my life. Placido, as he totters around and as he walks around, he's got 4 or 5 daughters. I don't know how many daughters there are, 4. 4 daughters that are waiting on him, sitting him down, feeding him pieces of watermelon, massaging him, kissing on him, hugging on him, telling him how much they love him, talking about what he taught them. That man is blessed. And what we heard down there, unending, is, well, this is what Father told us. Father speaks to us about these things. We cannot do any different because Father told us this. Went into a different state, never been there before, Campeche. And Campeche is almost at the southern, not south, how would that be? The western border. So it'd be the western northern border of Yucatan comes down. And we're in Campeche in a little town, Bowl and Chain. Well, I've heard of Bowl and Chain all of my life. And in Bowl and Chain, what happened is the Cabrera brothers, and his name is Danny Cabrera, right? Lives in Yucatan? Yeah. He's baptized in the church. Well, anyway, it was his forefathers, probably his grandfather. They were out camping. They were out on horseback, and they had settled in for the night out in the bosque, out in the woods somewhere. And while they're there around their campsite, a being appeared. And this man, they knew this is not a man. And he told them all kinds of things, and he told them a great prophecy about Yucatan. Said that there's coming a hurricane such as you've never seen before, and other things. And he says, in this prophecy, he says, at the house of Nemesio Shu will come the gospel. Well, they heard that. So this man left there, their little campsite. He left, and he went to some town, and they're sitting there and just in amazement at what he has said and being under his wisdom and his power, that it dawned on them and said, he's afoot. Let's go catch him and give him a ride on horseback into the town that he says he's going to go into. And so they went into that town and they missed him, and he had already gone to the next town. How can that be? Already talked to the people and already gone to the next town. Anyway, he came into this town, Bowl and Chain. And in Bowl and Chain, I had William tell me this, and I've heard it before. It says that he was in a little house, and he left that house. And when he left that house, he was walking off the ground by 2 or 3 inches. Feet were not touching the ground. Well, he says, in that town of Bowl and Chain right here, he says the people did not receive him. And they threw him down a well. And he came back up. Now, there's a scripture that says that. Does anybody know what that scripture is? speaks of in, I think it's in 3 Nephi, 12th chapter around there, talk about the three Nephites, says, and they were thrown in the wells, and the wells could not keep them. Well, that's what they did with this man. I'll get back to it, but anyway, I was eager to see the wells. Well, as it turns out, there's 9 wells, all of them in a row. I took a picture of that. But in one of those wells, this man was thrown into. So we had a service at this woman's house, and she had an operation some time ago, and slowly, she's trying to slowly recover from it, but she sits in her hammock. Well, this woman is a godly woman. And this woman gave Placido to know and William to know. William is from Zahn, is the chief minister that goes there. Give them to know, says, that I am a godly woman. And I will be watching you. And if I see any untoward thing, in my words, you're out of here. Well, she invites all of her neighbors and everybody comes and when they have a service, it's because she is outreaching and outreaching with the gospel as she hears it. Wonderful. We're going to be going down to the southeast. And my prayer is that those people have told their neighbors that we're going to have a missionary. Come on in and we invite you. Now, is there any scripture like that that you know of in the scriptures? Cornelius, when Peter had his vision there, he was praying, and he had a vision of this net coming down, and in that net was all manner of four-footed beasts and so forth. And he was told to kill and eat, and he said, no, he says, I've never eaten anything that's not clean. And he said, what the Lord hath cleansed, let no man call unclean. And so that meant that the gospel was going to the Gentiles. Well, there was a man, same time in the scriptures right here, the same time, his name was Cornelius. And Cornelius, he himself was told that there is a man who has been sent by the Lord, he's going to come to your house. Well, there at Cornelius' house, when Peter came into that door, was just Cornelius and a few others. The house was filled. Cornelius was there waiting and wanting to know what is the word of the Lord. Boy, that is right. That's how it should be. We had a minister's conference, about done. I had a minister's conference, and the minister's conference, this was in Merida. And all the ministry of Yucatan was there, which is not many, 7 of them. No, it wasn't all of them. A few others weren't there, 2 that I can remember. They were there, and they had their plans. They made their plans. They made their schedules. And in their plans and their schedules, they, again, Felipe was sitting there with a receipt book. And every one of these guys had money from their congregations, and he's given that money to Felipe. Felipe writes out a little note and gives him a receipt. Well, what it was is that every one of those congregations has got an allotment, a percentage of their money that they tithe, or it may not be tithing, but they offer. The percentage of that goes to this fund, which is the fund for the young people, so that they could have activities like they had there in Zahn. Well, I was impressed with that. So we had our little service there, and then after the service, William stood up and he says, I had a scripture to read, but you read it. Tremendous how these things work. Well, we left there, and our last stopping point is going to be back at Nellie's house, where we had that Dia de Gracias. And so we come in, and here he is again. Boy, he's going to feed us good. And he did, and he fed us good. And then we're thinking in terms of bed right here, and so we're moving that direction right here, and they're kind of still sitting there in their living room, you know, and I'm saying, is there some expectation here? Well, yeah, we expect you to speak to us. And in come the door, more people, and we finished off our trip in the Word. We met our little taxi, and we came back, and we just have this firm feeling that God is good, and He's taking care of His children, and He wants to feed them that are hungry. And what we saw, is after a service, there'd be people off to the side, and they're studying what they just heard. And so it was a feast of love for us, Becky and I. We had tears when we left, and it was a good experience. I hope this has been helpful. I hope these little memories and these little lessons are valuable to all of us. I know that we've got a work to do, and it's time for us to be involved and engaged to the max to that work. God bless you.